15-minute meeting or 10-minute meeting with these people, sitting down and talking to them, is that right? I thought it was a picture, but in the future, only a picture of these things. Yes, you give them a sit-down, talking points would take 30 minutes that they prepare to receive. But the moment we have it, we're going to be late to the diplomatic thing. So in the future, only photographs with these, you know, these odds and ends. And, really done marvelous things.
bank, case will open next week, to fund $24,000 in the bank, which is all from private raise. We tried for 4 years to get federal or state funding and haven't been able to. And it's something that I really have to work hard on, because it's so important. These young girls have no place to live, you know? And their homes to go back to, their homes are so bad that they can't go back to them. That's why they don't.
Say that the, you're still looking for federal funds.
Yes, sir. I should be nervous at this point.
You check on it?
No, I hadn't heard about this need until just this moment.
Well, I told
her. Just tell her I'm going to find it. For that, take it out of that action agency. I mean, they have a lot of people over there that are, I mean, they're too heavily, they're too heavily staffed at the top level. And just move a few people out of the staff and their buying program, you know, cutting back on personnel and put it in here. Okay?
Sir.
you're going to get the money. I understand. I want a report on this till the end of the day. Tell everyone it's to come out of action. That's where to take it. You know, stop coming out of that because they're supposed to be doing this sort of thing anyway, you see. So just tell them to take it out of there. Take it out of their overhead and put it into doing something for people. And the people that are working there that you know, have to go and go out and work someplace else. They can. Tell me, what is the... Do you have any... Am I your voice?
Our program is good.
You have to go to Weinberg, though. forgot.
I do have a 4 o'clock date with Bob Finch, 3 o'clock.
Don't get him in the budget thing because he has to go down the horizon. This is tough going. You just follow up and get it done. $50,000 a year out of action. Fair enough. We're going to go. And it doesn't come out of action. It's not one action. So put it this much. Well, one of the things we're trying to do is to transfer some of our volunteer activities, well-intentioned but unsuccessful operations abroad, to very, very important operations at home. You know, everybody thinks that, my God, all the poor people are in Africa or Haiti or Latin America and so forth. Well, we have a few, and we want to help those people as much as we can, but many of their countries are very proud. They don't want it, and our people, because the bureaucracy wants to stay, they won't give it up. Well, we're not going to do it that way. Well, tell me this, how long have you been with the Empire?
About 6 years, and the performance in the Empire started 13 years.
13 years, right. Always in this kind of work.
I went to the first school before from the Cincinnati Times.
Where'd you go to school?
University of Cincinnati.
Oh, yes. You go back to the, I say back, it's too far back, to the days of Oscar Robertson when he was playing.
That's right.
I'm
older than Oscar
Robertson.
He's prettier, too.
Yeah. 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 Darcy, he made Cincinnati so famous, and it takes a great player like him to do it. They go.
I wish
you
could come. It's really...
I saw the All-Star game we didn't make it this year. They're young pitchers.
I think the best thing about our city is, you know, there are so many people that really are concerned about
are
that.
Are they really?
They really are. And
it's considered to be rather a safe, conservative city, but that's not
the
true.
The people are so young, Mr. President. They are. And I feel so fortunate to be in this position here to help people that want to help, especially young people.
In other words, the idea that Cincinnati just sort of sits there.
Oh, that isn't true.
Doesn't move. It's not true.
You know, you talk to Bill Keating, I'll tell you.
Boy, the congressman, you know him?
He's a very good friend.
Mine, and of course, Bob Tapp, you know. Oh, yeah.
I worked for the Tapps for many years.
Cincinnati boy.
Right. Yes, he's a model community.
I must say they're a bloodthirsty bunch out there. I saw a little of that Cincinnati-Cleveland game on television.
They were really rough.
The hardest, Cincinnati lost the game, but the hardest tackling team I've ever seen.
Paul Brown is a very rugged coach.
A marvelous coach.
Yeah.
Fundamentals. He's all the way.
We have 4 professional sports teams, and that speaks well for the city.
That's right. You've got a hockey team.
Hockey, basketball, the San Diego.
I know the Royals.
And now the hockey team.
That's right.
Baseball. Well, I hear a town, for example, Columbus is bigger.
Well,
isn't Columbus the biggest city in the second biggest city now? Cleveland's number one. Yeah.
Well,
if they have any of your spirit or he rubs off on them, that's great.
Thank you.
We're very proud that you've done. Yeah, that's so many people who do work in this field, but he picked you out as one that really deserves recognition. You know, we don't want to recognize everybody, of course, but the way you in this case, and the least we can do here is to try and get you $50,000. Good cause, should be done, and it's one of the few things that we can't. We normally can't. I never say anything, you know, like this, and we run it all through the bureaucracy, but I can sense immediately what the problem is. There's just a question of many good things. This is a good thing. You check it, you know, it's good.
I will.
And I know a lot of other things that are in agencies that they're dabbling.
I agree, absolutely. Well, I got to go over to four ambassadors now, but they're coming in. Let's see. We'll give you a little trinket here for your, that's the presidential seal, which will be of interest to you.
Did you have a talk on speed?
Here, you probably got your talk.
And that one,
there you are. You probably have some. They're yours, fine. Let me see what we can give to your children. They all got to get the same thing.
That's our name.
How many children?
That's the thing with it.
You bring an expensive pizza.
The bookmarks might be better. I have some news.
All right, let me show you what the bookmark is. This we're going to study it, you see. It has the presidential seal and also has a bookmark. We'll give it to them and we'll teach them. We'll encourage you to read. The reason that the presidential seal is the mark of this, this region here, it is here. There it is. So, now all the kids are telling they got to read books, not look at that TV. TV's a waste of time. Don't write that. So, it's Tom, unless it's Tom to read the Inquirer and books, fair enough. Well, thank you very much. Well, I appreciate your taking the letter. Glad you're out there. Just keep that old spirit. You're obviously full of it. Yeah. You've got drive, spirit, conviction. I see many people coming through and heading over to the motion. You got it. Really? No, they like to go. You to raise yourself.
Thank you.
Hard to cover.
Thank God. And it's definitely very good, the weather is, but the weather got a little misty, wasn't it? Yeah, to give you better light, that softened it, that beating down.
Softened it nicely. But I think at that time, aren't we worried about rain?
That was it, it was raining, it was down to rain, right, something, and I meant to, you know, it was the day before, it was something.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody was wilting, and I got my book.
It went very well.
We were lucky. Whatever you want to level, you tell me, well, you probably got one already.
Yeah, it's okay.
Any of you ever get a chance to cover sports?
World Series?
Oh, you covered the series?
We're exactly right on that one about McNally and Thomas.
I got number two, three. I said I thought that they would win the Pirates would win third, which that was just one. But the close one was that sixth one. I thought that McNally, I thought Palmer would win because he looked awfully sharp. They spiked the walks. It's a great series, I mean, great series. And the Pirates deserve it. They deserve it, not so much because they're hitting, but because they have a tremendous defense. You know, everybody's surprised. That second base, I think, everybody was beating that Fernandez would be a clown. Well, he played as well as Robinson at third. Every now and again.
Yes, sir. Is the reading and just like to read surface? No, it's fine. It's good for you on reading.
I can see as much as I need. It's obviously.
We have about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
What will be your clothes? Will it be
Good evening. Yeah, thank you, and good evening. And I'll start with good evening. And I'll go 11 and a half to 12 minutes.
All right, I'll pass that down the line now. Let's see.
12, 12 and a half, maybe. 12 and a half, depending on the speed. All right, I'll see you later. Start running. Of course, I have 15 minutes. 14.
city. Yeah.
How much?
I'll stand here. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to do my hair. I don't know which one.
Good evening. During a four-year term, the President of the United States, sitting at this desk in this historic room, makes over 3,000 major appointments to various government positions. By far, the most important appointments he makes are those to the Supreme Court of the United States. Presidents come and go, but the Supreme Court, through its decision, goes on forever. Because they will make decisions which will affect your lives and the lives of your children for generations to come, I'd just like to share with you tonight my reasons for selecting the two individuals whose names I will send to the Senate tomorrow for confirmation as justices of the Supreme Court of the United States. Over the past month, I received thousands of letters all over the country recommending scores of able men and women for appointment to the two vacancies on the court. Because one of the vacancies is that left by the retirement and death of Mr. Justice Black, who was a United States Senator before he was appointed, there's been a strong support for the appointment of a member of the Senator House, so that the point of view of the Congress would be represented on the court. A great number of letters have recommended the appointment of a woman, since no woman has ever been appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States. And a number of others have recommended the appointment of representatives of religious, racial, and nationality groups not presently represented on the court. I believe, as I'm sure all Americans do, that the Supreme Court should, in the broadest sense, be representative of the entire nation. But with only 9 seats to fill, obviously every group in the country cannot be represented on the court. These are the criteria I believe should be applied in naming people to the Supreme Court. First, the Supreme Court is the highest judicial body in this country. Its members, therefore, should, above all, be among the very best lawyers in the nation. Putting it another way, in the legal profession, the Supreme Court is the fastest track in the nation. And it is essential that the justices on that court be able to keep up with the very able lawyers who will appear before that court arguing cases. The two individuals I am nominating to the court meet that standard of excellence to an exceptional degree. The second consideration is the judicial philosophy of those who are to serve in the court. Now, I emphasize the word judicial because whether an individual is a Democrat or Republican cannot and should not be a decisive factor in determining whether he should be on the court. By judicial philosophy, I do not mean agreeing with the president on every issue. It would be a total repudiation of our constitutional system if judges on the Supreme Court or any other federal court, for that matter, were like puppets on a string pulled by the president who appointed them. When I appointed Chief Justice Burger, I told him that from the day he was confirmed by the Senate, he could expect that I would never talk to him about a case that was before the court. In the case of both Chief Justice Burger and Mr. Justice Black, and in the case of the two nominees that I shall be sending to the Senate tomorrow, their sole obligation is to the Constitution and to the American people, and not to the president who appointed them to their positions. As far as judicial philosophy is concerned, it is my belief that it is the duty of a judge to interpret the Constitution and not to place himself above the Constitution or outside the Constitution. He should not twist or bend the Constitution in order to perpetuate his personal, political, and social views. Now, this does not mean that judges who adhere to this philosophy that I just described will find that they always agree on their interpretation of the Constitution. You seldom find two lawyers who agree on any close question. We have an excellent example of this in the record of the two judges whose vacancies I now have the duty to fill, Mr. Justice Black, Mr. Justice Harlan. When they retired from the court a month ago, most observers labeled Mr. Justice Black as a liberal and Mr. Justice Harlan as a conservative. There was a measure of truth in this, but I would say that both were constitutionalists. It is true, they disagreed sharply in many cases, but as I learned not only from reading their opinions over the years, but from appearing twice before them and arguing the case before the Supreme Court, both were great judges, with a brilliant ability to ask questions that went to the heart of a man, and then to make a decision based on their honest interpretation of the Constitution. In the debate over the confirmation of the two individuals I have selected, I would imagine that it may be charged that they are conservatives. This is true, but only in a judicial not in a political sense. You recall, I'm sure, that during my campaign for the presidency, I pledged to nominate to the Supreme Court individuals who shared my judicial philosophy, which is basically a conservative philosophy. Now let me give you an example of what that philosophy means. 21 months ago, Mr. Walter Lippmann wrote, "The balance of power within our society has turned dangerously against the peace forces, against governors and mayors and legislatures, against the police and the courts." I share this view. Over the past few years, many cases have come before the court involving that delicate balance between the rights of society and the rights of defendants accused of crimes against society. And honest and dedicated constitutional lawyers have disagreed as to where and how to maintain that balance. As a judicial conservative, I believe some court decisions have gone too far in the past in weakening the peace forces as against the criminal forces in our society. In maintaining, as it must be maintained, the delicate balance between the rights of society and defendants accused of crimes, I believe the peace forces must not be denied the legal tools they need to protect the innocent from criminal elements. And I believe we can strengthen the hand of the peace forces without compromising our precious principle that the rights of individuals accused of crimes must always be protected. It is with these criteria in mind that I have selected the two men whose names I will send to the Senate tomorrow. Everything that Lewis F. Powell has undertaken, he has accomplished with distinction and honor, both as a lawyer and as a citizen. Excellence has marked his career since his days as a student at Washington and Lee, where he was Phi Beta Kappa and first in his class and law school. He's practiced law in Richmond since 1931, except for 4 years of distinguished service during World War II. In his unique legal career, he has received virtually every honor the legal profession can bestow upon him. He's been president of the American College of Trial Lawyers, president of the American Bar Foundation, president of the American Bar Association. In that latter role, he provided leadership in the provision of legal services for the needy and for the revision of the standards for administration of criminal justice. Lewis Powell is from Virginia. But like another great Virginian, Chief Justice Marshall, Lewis Powell is recognized by his legal colleagues throughout the nation as being a man who represents not just Virginia and the South. He is first and foremost a very great American. William Rehnquist has been outstanding in every intellectual endeavor he has undertaken. He was graduated from Stanford University, Phi Beta Kappa, 1948. He graduated first in his class from the Stanford University Law School in 1942. And then he was awarded one of the highest honors a law graduate can achieve. He was chosen as law clerk for Mr. Justice Robert Jackson, one of the most outstanding members of the Supreme Court in the past half century. In this position, he acted as legal assistant to the justice, and his duties included legal research of the highest order. On leaving the court, Mr. Rehnquist engaged in the general practice of law for 16 years in Phoenix, Arizona, until 1969, when I appointed him Assistant Attorney General, Office of Legal Counsel. Now that's a very technical name. Let me tell you what it means. The legal counsel has a very special function in the Department of Justice, serving as the chief interpreter for the whole government of the Constitution and the statutes of the United States. He is, in effect, the president's lawyer's lawyer. a senior partner. I have had the opportunity, both in government and in private practice, to know the top lawyers in this country, and as a matter of fact, some of the top lawyers in the world. And I will rate William Rankins as having one of the finest legal minds in this whole nation today. He has discharged his responsibility in his capacity as the president's lawyer's lawyer with such great distinction that among the thousands of able lawyers who serve in the federal government, he ranks at the very top as a constitutional lawyer and as a legal scholar. Lewis Hall, William Rankins, those are names you'll remember because they will add distinction and excellence in the highest degree to the Supreme Court of the United States. I'm asking the Senate to approve their nominations promptly so that the court can move forward in the backlog of cases that is building up because of the two vacancies which have occurred in recent weeks. Let me add a final word tonight with regard to a subject that is very close to my heart because of my legal background and because of years of study of the American system of government. I voted with great distress a growing tendency in the country to criticize the Supreme Court as an institution. Now let us all recognize that every individual has a right to disagree with decisions of a court. But after those decisions are handed down, it is our obligation to obey the law, whether we like it or not. And it is our duty as citizens to respect the institution of the Supreme Court of the United States. We have had many historic and even sometimes violent debates throughout our history about the role of the Supreme Court in our government. But let us never forget that respect for the court as the final interpreter of a law, it is indispensable if America is to remain a free society. Except for the contribution he may be able to make to the cause of world peace, there is probably no more important legacy than a president of the United States can leave these times than his appointments to the Supreme Court. I believe that Chief Justice Berger, Mr. Justice Blackmun, by their conduct and their decisions, have earned the respect not only of those who supported them when I nominated them, but also those who opposed them. And it is my firm conviction tonight that Lewis Powell and William Rankins will earn the same respect, and that as guardians of our Constitution, they will dedicate their lives to the great goal of building respect for law and order and justice throughout this great land of ours. Thank you and good night.
Where? Thank you.
you want to be prime minister. All right, thank you very much.
Why do you have to do so much work for such a very busy, for 14
years? Good picture of you.